Welcome to the Midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and we've been practicing our French pronunciation here because my guest is one of the great saxophone players of our time, and he hails from France, and as is often the case with French, it doesn't sound the way it looks. Welcome, Claude Delangle.
Good morning, Norman.
I got it close, but not entirely there. But welcome to Wisconsin and to Wisconsin Public Radio, and you will be playing tonight. How quickly the time comes. Tonight with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra at the Capitol Theater, 8 o'clock. And the concert has a definite French accent to it. The children's games of Georges Bizet, and also the Paris Symphony of Mozart. There are contra dances by Beethoven. And then, for the saxophone, expressly, the Fantasia of Villa-Lobos and the saxophone concerto of Alexander Glazunov, neither of which has anything at all jazzy about it.
Not much, yes. It's the very classical point of view on saxophone, perhaps except in Villa-Lobos, of course, not jazz, but very rhythmical and very folk expression of saxophone.
Now, you're obviously a classical saxophone player, but do you have opportunities to play jazz?
Yes, I'm not a bebop player at all, but I do lots of improvisation, and if the audience tonight would be careful, I will improvise my own cadenza in the Villa-Lobos.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, that's something to look forward to. And there's so much jazz in France, such a long history there, that it seems inevitable that by the time you couple it with the saxophone that you would have some jazz in your experience.
Yes, but I'm much more involved myself in contemporary fields and commissioning lots of pieces to people like I did with Berlioz, Boulez, and Ligeti. And
you commissioned?
Yes,
yes. Major composers.
Berlioz wrote for me a concerto, Chemin 7, and of course it has been a strong experience for me, and I'm much more involved in that, and sometimes being close to jazz, but never exactly a jazz player.
When you commission a work, how does that proceed? Do you say, I would like it to have the following characteristics?
It's always a different situation. It sometimes comes from a specific situation, playing in a festival and having a specific relationship with the composer. And sometimes it's directly connected to an old connection with the composer, with and having an interest on, I don't know, an influence on. For example, this year, I commissioned two pieces, one to a French composer, Cyril Lane, and another to an American composer, David de Bocanfield, as not pastiche, but homage to Francis Poulenc, because this year is Francis Poulenc year. He was he died 60 years ago, and we decided to. And Poulenc himself was on his way to do a saxophone sonata at the end of his life. As he did not do it, we play sometimes a clarinet or oboe sonata, and I want to play pieces by people who are able to write in Poulenc's style.
Is
a specific opportunity, of course, that way. And in the concert tonight, you mentioned Villa-Lobos and Glazunov, but at the end of the program, we will play something in between encore and programmed piece, because I commissioned to a friend of mine, Philippe Portejoie, who is also a saxophone player, but a very good arranger, pieces which has been sung by Edith Piaf, and very much, of course, very much related to Paris.
So it's an arrangement of an Edith Piaf song?
Yes.
But, I mean, the saxophone is such a vocal instrument anyway.
Yes.
It seemed
like
a natural.
Yes, it's... And this was the goal of Adolphe Sax, having an instrument, having the characteristic of woodwind and brass, and having also some. And when we analyze the sound of saxophone, it has in the very high register the formant that human voice has, And it's why it's, of course, very easy to recognize a saxophone in an orchestra.
It is very distinctive, and some of the leading 20th century composers wrote nice parts for the saxophone. I mean, what Ravel in his pictures in an exhibition under some duress, Debussy wrote work Rhapsody. For saxophone, which... what do you think of that? I mean, I've heard it disparaged. I've heard it spoken ill of by saxophone players.
Yes, but the specifically on Debussy, you mean?
Debussy.
Yes, he was paid quite well by Mrs. Eliza Hall, who was an amateur saxophone player. Apparently, her husband was a doctor and. Advised her to study the saxophone in order to get better with his lungs, or I don't know what.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yes, she was ill.
Yeah. So, it was for her lungs that she took up the saxophone.
And apparently she did not play so well, but she has some money, and she commissioned to quite good French composer, Florent Schmitt and so on, and Debussy and Caplet, Dadi. But of course, Debussy was keen on the money, but didn't know about the saxophone. And he said this aquatic instrument.
Yeah, what did he mean by that?
Aquatic, you know, when you have water in the hands, it escapes your hand. And he didn't know much. But that the Rhapsody is very interesting because to me this piece is like a question mark about what is the saxophone, because at the beginning does not sound a woodwind, it sounds much more a horn, brass wind playing with a, and it's very much connected to voice at the same time,
right.
Because as you know Debussy was very much influenced by Gregorian song, rediscovering through Solemn the Gregorian song and writing to a voice which is not an operatic voice and a bel canto voice, but much more connected to choir quality of singing. And the saxophone does that at the beginning of the Rhapsody, something very flat song and a very simple song. And afterwards, we have something in the Rhapsody which are more connected to woodwind, but we can feel that he doesn't know exactly what is the acoustic characteristic of the saxophone.
Okay, here's somebody I assume who does, writing specifically for the saxophone, and that would be Jules de Mersman.
Jules de Mersman, yes, he's not a very known composer except from the flute players, because he was himself for a short time the solo player at Paris Opera, writing lots of pieces for flute. And this piece was dedicated to Adolf Sax himself, because he was born 1833 and died 1866, exactly the period of time the saxophone has been invented. And he wrote this beautiful fantasy. And I recorded on an Adolf Sax instrument with an Adolf Sax mouthpiece, mouthpiece, yes.
Wooden mouthpiece.
Exactly, yes.
And the pianist is?
My wife.
Here it is. Thank you. It's a charming piece, very much a piece of its time, which is the late 19th century by Jules Demesmin. And it's a fantasy on an original theme as played on alto saxophone by my guest, Claude Delangle, and by his wife also. She was the pianist, Odile. And that, it's a wooden mouthpiece. And you say the instrument was the original...
By Adolf Sax himself.
Adolf Sax instrument.
Yes.
And now, why is that more difficult, or is it more difficult to play than a contemporary sax, or is it the other way around?
Of course, the fingerings and you know, the it's a bit more less convenient, of course. We cannot play... I would not play the Berio Sequenza with or the Boulez Dialogue de l'Ombre Double with that instrument. But it's to play. I would say it's easier to play that style of music with that instrument. We can feel clearly that it has been done for that sound. And it would be a problem to play with a modern instrument. We do, many people do that, but it's we have to, you know, the modern instruments have a brighter sound, a larger dynamic scale.
Yes.
And of course, the jazz history influenced a lot the way we make the instruments.
Jazz history did so.
Of course,
but that would have been somewhere. Oh. What, 40 years or so into the history of the instrument
before
jazz came along?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and the saxophone producer, I play Selmer saxophone, and they of course were looking for more brighter sound, for more energy. Sometimes playing to play outdoors and with a large group of instruments.
Well, I was going to ask about that. A saxophone, like the instrument you just played, the sax instrument, would that have been conceived as an orchestral instrument?
Originally, it has been conceived to play in a wind band. Napoleon III was calling Adolphe Sax to come to Paris to better the military bands. That was the first thing.
The French loved those military bands, didn't they?
I don't know if they love now. It's a bit not à la mode. It's not so much à la mode to be military, to listen to military band. But in fact, I just recorded a new CD with Christian Lindberg conducting the Swedish wind band.
Oh, really?
Just released now, I'm sorry.
For BIS, this label?
For BIS, yes. Uh-huh. We did John Williams, Catch Me If You Can, the music, John Williams and Paul Creston, some American...
Paul Creston, really?
Paul Creston, some American pieces. And still, I think there is a path for wind band, for the wind in itself. You know, I think the wind instrument, we have to rediscover something on the wind. Not only for the saxophone, but the saxophone is something very special because it's connected to many kind of music, folk,
yes,
and jazz, and is at the border, you know, instrument at the border.
But you think of the saxophone as being a rather elegant instrument, or an instrument associated with elegance in the performance?
In that music we listen to, yes, but not necessarily. Sometimes it's absolutely the contrary. And that is something very interesting in that instrument. It can express so many kind of feelings. And I think it's why people love so much the saxophone. Who does not know the saxophone? In the street, you can ask the question. Everyone knows.
That's true.
It's not true about the bassoon or about the tuba.
I would not be surprised, in fact, tonight, across the street from where you're performing in Madison on State Street, to hear somebody
another
playing the saxophone.
Yeah. Yes.
it's that common to hear them. Well, here's another French composer, Florent Schmitt, who wrote for the saxophone, and this probably would have been, well, actually, he was around for a good long time, but I think of him as writing in the 20s and 30s, mm-hmm, certainly during the jazz age, but again, not jazz-influenced music. And this is a Dream of Coppelia?
Dream of Coppelia. And Florent Schmitt was very much interested in Oriental music. Everything was... He was a great traveler. And but when we say Oriental, it was mostly Middle East and Northern Africa.
Oh, sounds like Saint-Saëns.
Exactly. And he, for example, he wrote a beautiful legend and connected with Orientalism, but a French way for Orientalism, of course.
So here it is. And again, my guest is the saxophonist Claude Delangle with his wife Odile at the piano. Aptly named. It is dreamlike, isn't it?
Yes, it's the French composer of that pain have been very interested in the dreams in general. For example, the Prelude à l'après-midi d'un four, the four.
Well, yes, sure,
it's
the
that
Debussy
kind of,
yes,
thing.
And yes. And French poetry also.
Yes, exactly. Mallarmé.
Yes.
Exactly in that mood. And what happened in the dreams is very important to them.
Well, let's have one more. This one from Debussy, and this was originally written just for piano.
For
is that right?
For clarinet.
Oh, it was for clarinet.
Yes.
Okay.
It was a sight reading exercise, commissioned by Conservatoire to Debussy for clarinet players.
And so, what do you bring to it with the saxophone that the clarinet couldn't do for it?
I think it's interesting to transcribe pieces from clarinet to saxophone, or from oboe to saxophone, because we can check that the saxophone is just in between. You know, I would say the saxophone is more an oboe with a simple reed than a clarinet with a conic shape. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to check, for example, when we play contemporary pieces originally written for clarinet, the saxophone brings always a vocal dimension.
As we mentioned, mm-hmm, yes, the saxophone is such a vocal instrument. That's another reason I suspect that the jazz performers liked it so much. It has that kind of, can get that kind of gravelly vocal quality from a saxophone.
And also, I don't know how to express that in American, but not only vocal, but how to put something outside. You know, it's
to project.
More projection, exactly.
Okay, here it is, Petite Pièce by Debussy. Piece by Debussy, originally for clarinet and piano, there in the hands of one of the great saxophonists of our time, who has been my guest for the midday today, Claude Delangle. And he is performing with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra tonight at the Capitol Theater at the Overture Center for the Arts in Madison. And in particular, he'll be playing the Fantasy of Villa-Lobos and also the Saxophone Concerto of Glazunov. And there will be another one on there, too, reminiscent of Paris, in a concert, in fact, that is largely reminiscent of Paris. A pleasure to meet you, and look forward to hearing you.
Nice to meet you, Norman. Thank you.